Sans Fans Radio.
Australia's dumbest podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Baseless Speculation. All of the pop culture news and none of the research. I'm Jackson.
I'm Joel.
I'm Levins.
And I'm Alexi.
Fellas, gang, lads.
Familia.
What do we think's gonna happen? Love Familia. What do we think's gonna happen in Fast 10? Fast 9 just came out. We've all seen it. We all lost our minds.
How many times has everyone seen it?
Only once.
Coward.
How many times have you seen it?
I've seen it once in regular dimension, and I've seen it another time in the 4DX dimension.
Oh my god. How's that movie popping in 4DX? I feel like I'll be too... I cared about the story too much to be swept up in the action like that.
I think Alexa, you and I saw it together, and I was like, oh man, we should see that in 4DX, and your immediate reaction was, I think I'll die. 4DX is like this roller coaster version of seeing movies. Your seats move. You get sprayed with water. There's a smoke machine and strobes. And I took my wife to see Fast 9.
Oh my god.
She'd never been to a 4DX movie before. She was so angry at me for the first 20 minutes. And then
she loved it so much. That's so good.
She was like already like getting a phone out, booking tickets for us to go see In the Heights, the Lin-Manuel Miranda musical as like retribution for me dragging her along to this. But no.
Well, that's a good movie. You'll be okay.
Shut up, Alexi. No, it isn't.
If it's in 4DX, I can't even imagine.
In the Heights incredible. In 4DX.
Yeah. I would love to see a musical in 4DX. Famously, I got pink eye from seeing Sonic in 4DX. Squirted directly into my eye.
Actually,
and I got pink eye for like 3 weeks.
I read that the In the Heights showings in 4DX, it's actually Lin-Manuel Miranda's sweat that you're getting sprayed with in all the water scenes.
Good on him for producing that much. That's, you know... It's a lot of effort and a lot of work.
Jackson, I'm sorry to inform you that you're the only person in this episode that hasn't experienced cinema in the 4DX dimension.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Alexi and I saw Godzilla versus Kong in 4DX, and I've never had more fun in the cinema.
Yeah. We were tickling each other the whole time as well. We were having that much fun.
It was. All right. So if you're listening to this episode and you haven't seen Fast 9, first of all, you fucking idiots. Yeah. Why are you living in a world where Fast 9 exists and you haven't seen it? Get
just
the
catch
fuck
up.
Out there.
Watch the first 8 and the spin-off and then the 9th one. It'll take you just 1 week.
Yeah, exactly. It's easy to do.
And it'll be the best week of your life. You'll be feeling high octane in every situation that you're in, not just while you're watching the movies. You're going maximum overdrive every scenario in your life after that point.
But if you are listening to this, we will spoil Fast 9, so this is your last chance to press pause, go see the movie, and
go
come
watch
back.
Every single Fast and the Furious and then 9 and then come back. Okay.
Yeah, because so I think that all 10 films... Because there's 9 plus a spin-off, are going to be vital to Fast 10 and presumably surely they go Fast 10, Furious 11 and cap the franchise.
Yeah.
I reckon they keep going.
They will.
This is my first place of speculation. Apparently 9 is the first of a trilogy that they're going to finish the movies with.
Yeah.
All movies with the last movie ever released will be Furious 11.
They've said this before, haven't they? They've been like, these are the last Fast and the Furious movies, and then they're like, but we want to do more. So
I can understand from like a studio standpoint, like, you know, look, Vin Diesel is horrible to work with. our people can only do like 2 more of these just for their sake. But yeah,
but I remember looking over at it's like the last shot, the final barbecue of this movie of Fast 9, and
that's what the last Fast movie should be called.
Yes.
But as the camera panned over every member of La Familia, I was like, any one of these people could have a secret twin, could turn evil. Any one of these people could get brain chipped or whatever. Like, there's infinite storytelling
possibilities. Dom Toretto's secret twin could have a secret twin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That isn't also possible. Dom's twin somehow.
Well, there was that wonderful line where Charlize Theron is like, ah, there's Nordic blood in the Toretto DNA or whatever. Like, as though the people writing this movie are like, people aren't, we gotta put in some line to explain the different ethnicities of John Cena and Vin Diesel, otherwise people are gonna flip. We didn't need that movie.
I thought that was like a knowing nod to the fact that Vin Diesel refuses to acknowledge what, like, what his ethnic background is. Like, he just...
It could have been. Either way, it was crazy.
That's what I find fascinating about Vin Diesel. I love Vin Diesel. He's one of my, like, heroes. Yes, yeah. As far as it goes with cinema, I just absolutely adore him. Because I think he's very sensitive, masculine energy on screen.
Oh, yeah.
The likes we haven't seen since someone like Sylvester Stallone. But he's even one step further than Sly when it comes to, like, sensitive male modern masculinity. And he made this great, like, film back in like the 90s. It was like his breakout Sundance kind of very small independent film called Multifacial, and it's like about his ethnic ambiguity and like how he feels as an actor, like not being cast as things. And I want him to get more, I want him to become more a lead in like the creation of those things, because it's so much about like this film is like about this, you know, one global race, which is like one race is his also production company name. And I just like want everyone to become a Toretto now. I went in going, Toretto should only be bald. We should get Billy Zane or bald John Travolta to play his brother, not John Cena. But now I'm like, no, I want Toretto of every creed in here now.
Anyone can be a Toretto. Because that's the lesson, you know?
He has a baby with a German woman, right? Mm. Like that's, and then, is she German?
Isn't she Brazilian?
She's Brazilian. Okay, cool. Yeah. That because like their child is very brown.
Lil B.
I hope there is like a Lil B needle drop in the next. There we go. Fast 10 speculation. Wonton Soup plays during the.
Oh, my Lord.
The Lil B song Justin Bieber, in which he just says Justin Bieber's name 400 times, plays as the cars race.
But also, like, Lil B is just like, that's an easy sequel set in the future. You know,
Lil
I mean?
B, yeah, that's great. Mm.
Yeah, also, as an adult Lil B, Toretto. Yeah,
the rapper could easily be a cameo in the Fast, the right caliber.
Yeah.
Bring him in.
I think one of the most exciting moments of Fast 9 was the reappearance of, I can't recall his name, but the protagonist of Tokyo Drift. What an incredible moment.
Lucas Black. Yeah. Sean is his character's name.
God damn.
Accompanied by the other two characters from Tokyo Drift, including Bow Wow, who has never looked so bad.
It's crazy to see, like, what, like, you know, we're looking at mainly the biggest movie stars in the world with this franchise, like Vin Diesel and everyone like that. They're, like, eternal beauties. Like, they're encased in, like epoxy. Like Ludacris has looked the same for, like, 40 years.
Yeah.
And then you cut to, like, people from the slight spin-off Tokyo Drift that have not been earning, like, $20,000 million a year.
They
and
haven't
just, like,
in
look
shape.
Like normal fucking people.
Especially like Bow Wow being a rapper, like we're so used to seeing like rappers make the transition to actor and being the most ripped on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
And for him to just be like hiding in this hoodie, like, you know, it was,
like
I liked it. It was a nice
a
little change.
On a sitcom or something, like it just doesn't look like everyone else.
So what do we think? Obviously, Fast 10 is going to be, it is going to be coming hot off the heels of Fast 9 in terms of story. So many cliffhangers in this one. Is Roman immortal? Is where's John Cena going? You know, a Cypher is now loose and ready to seek revenge. Which of these plot lines is going to be resolved? Are they going to do a, because I've heard this as well, that it might be Fast 10, Fast 11 is sort of like a part one and part two of a grand finale.
Yeah, they've said that. So same as Mission Impossible, The last two Mission Impossible films are filming back-to-back and they're going to be sort of a part one, part two. And
imagine if they cross over.
Well, it would imagine if they come out in the same year, I will die in the movies. I can't weather both of those franchises at the same time.
I'll have a snapped neck from 140X screening, go to the next one, and it's going to fucking rip my head off. It's going to snap the other way and I'll be fucking beheaded in the cinema.
Just drowning from the water in the 40X screening.
I think you're right, though, Jackson. I think it'll happen. And I think that... So Cypher has obviously been a threat for a while, and she turned Dom bad for a film, which is fuck something that we could frankly could not believe as an audience.
No, couldn't imagine.
To the point where that kind of
never happened.
Yeah, it kind of wrecked Fast 8 because it was so unbelievable that we're like, no, Dom would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
So like clearly the film franchise is like she feels like a big threat, but she hasn't really done anything. Like I honestly still feel like Deckard Shaw made more of an impact as a villain just for the killing of Han, even though it's undone.
And then
that hospital opening of 7.
Incredible.
Where it just goes through the rampage.
Is Owen, forgive me, but is Owen just alive and in a coma?
Because he's fine now.
So, yeah, he's fine. I mean, obviously we're going to get a Shaw family reunion in one of the upcoming films.
And I reckon Michael Caine is going to be their father.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Sorry, their father.
Yeah.
I just watched Hobbs and Shaw like 2 days ago. I didn't sanction Hobbs and Shaw because Vin was like, it didn't like
he
it.
Didn't
Vin didn't
it.
Like
it.
There
was
a Therese
was like, you're going to, like, my daughter is not going to eat because of this movie.
Well,
Therese
is like,
the angriest of that movie.
I didn't sanction it, so the guys didn't let it, they let it happen for some reason. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I missed it in cinemas. I watched it this week. Honestly, I had a rip-roaring time. I'm guilty that I didn't see it in the cinema. But I think the Shaw family, I want them to come back into it, and there needs to be an explanation for all, like, the different ages of the Shaw family. Helen Mirren is maybe just old enough to be Jason Statham's mom, and then he grew up with his little sister played by Vanessa Kirby. Like, they grew up together. You see a shot of them, like, as teens together, both as teenagers. He's 20 full years older than her. 20 full years. So that's crazy. And then I don't know, Owen Shaw, he said in that movie, there's like, to Idris Elba, by the way, who is like the movie star who's never in any movies. The guy's been like 3 motion pictures in his lifetime. he's like confronts him. He goes, "You made me kill my brother." So did he like go in and like smother his brother in a coma or something? Or is there another Shaw brother?
Oh my God.
That he just
That's a great point.
I don't remember that part at all.
Yeah, maybe you're right. But Owen, he didn't just straight up kill his brother, did he? Maybe he did.
He just said to him, "You made me kill my brother." But maybe it was like a metaphorical thing, like we were in a brotherhood together, and I killed my bruv.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's crazy. Because
Owen pops up in 8, is on the plane in the plane scene with the baby, and then in 9. Well, no, because in 9, Helen Mirren, like Queenie, says. "You here to see my sons," or some shit.
Yeah, that's right. She does too. She's like, "You after my sons again?" Yeah.
"You're my favorite American."
Who do we think will be given, when Michael Caine is inevitably introduced, who will be given the line, "Hello, Dad"? Do you reckon, like, Jason Statham saying, or "Hello, Father"? Something like that. Jason Statham would nail that line, right? Jason Statham's got great "his dad" energy. You know what I mean?
It'll be a gruff reunion as well. He'll be like, "Hello, Dad."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll knock it out of the park.
Cars will crash into each other and they'll say it through the windshields.
Yeah.
God. Absolutely. Okay. Here's my other little pitch. You got Michael Caine coming in to play their dad. Where's he been all this time? His second family, the Powers family. And so Austin Powers is a Shaw brother, but a half brother.
Oh,
that explains the age gap. He's like,
"We froze one off for a little bit. We froze your sister off for 15 years.
That's huge. Also, if they somehow tie, so obviously Nigel Powers is character's name, right?
Yes.
So obviously Nigel Powers is a spy.
Yeah.
Works for the British government. So let's say that one of his missions, he had to go undercover, maybe do some kind of job. In Italy.
Yes.
An Italian job.
Yes.
They're all connected.
Yeah. I think that's very feasible. I think that's a very feasible step for the Fast and Furious franchise.
Look, Alexi, I love your theory. I think the Austin Powers crossover is... It's on the cards. Mm. It's just not quite a lock, where I honestly think that if they bring in Michael Caine, they will say it is the same character as the Italian job. There'll be like huge wink to it.
Yeah, and for sure. And then Vin Diesel in an interview will say that it will just confirm it. Like,
yes.
Or somebody will just confirm it in an interview. They'll, you know what I mean. Yeah. So what do we think the plot is going to be of Fast 10? So what do we think is going to happen in that?
Toretto's and the Shaws will come together as one big La Familia. That's for sure. That's
Do we think Hobbs is going to be back for Fast 10?
I think what will happen is, so there's two things, because Vin Diesel and The Rock don't get along. Yeah. The Rock and John Cena also hate each other.
Really?
I think Vin Diesel's love of the Fast and the Furious franchise, and the fact that if this is meant to be the last one, he'll want every loose end possible tied up.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
So I think, can you imagine what a huge news story it would be to just see, like, Vin Diesel going, like, we're burying the hatchet, me and The Rock.
He would literally film a video of him digging a hole in his backyard, putting a hatchet in there, and then covering it with dirt.
And a fucking big old rock on top of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Also, like, the taglines for the films, like, would lean into it for sure, because it'd be like, nothing separates La Familia.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Exactly.
Also,
between Rock and a Hard Place.
When they're in the WWE together, The Rock and John Cena fought twice. Yeah. The first fight was called Once in a Lifetime. The second one was called Twice in a Lifetime.
Wow.
Fast and Furious 10, thrice in a lifetime.
Yeah. Evangelion shit.
It's great to think that this one used Justice for Han, but, like, what was the Justice for Han? I guess he's not dead.
A magic trick.
Yeah.
Do you know what's crazy at the end of this movie? One of the crazy things about this movie is that there's more characters come back to life than died. Like, there was no major deaths in this movie. We got more characters back than we lost.
Well, actually, Alexi, there is one death, and his death, I think, is going to inspire the antagonist for the next movie. So, we all know that, you know, the big theme of the Fast movies is family. Mm-hmm. And one of the villains who does die in this movie, or at least I'm pretty sure he died, he explodes along with the truck, is... John Cena, his character, his name is Jacob. He works with a backer who is the son of a dictator, whose name escapes me right now. Mm. Anyone remember it?
No, don't even know the actor.
Don't even know the fucking actor of this guy.
Well, he was like, you know, Germanic, kind of like European dude.
Finnish, maybe, yeah.
And he
looked
dies.
Looked a bit like Steel Saunders, but like a more German version.
He dies, and he always refers to his father being like the richest man in the world, and he constantly lives in his father's shadow. He wants to be richer than his dad, and that was his the whole reason he did everything he did in this movie was so he could get more money than his dad and like step out of that shadow. So he dies, and I reckon the antagonist or one of the antagonists who teams up or either it goes up against Cypher in a race to kill the Toretto family is going to be the father, the dictator. Oof. And I reckon it's either going to be played by Christoph Waltz or Willem Dafoe.
Both good, but can I put in a little one for questioning? My dream person to be in this franchise is Nicolas Cage, because I think he fits in so well for like the 90s nostalgic action these go for. And I think that he actually could play a hectic dictator doing whatever the fuck accent he wants to do.
I want Nick Cage to be from the get-go on the side of the angels.
Yeah, that's true.
What about if Nick Cage, because again, like, because the Toretto bloodline is just hectic, what if it's revealed that he's like Dom's uncle?
I would love
one lost brother to his dead dad.
I can
see
that.
He's barely older than Vin Diesel, but I would love that.
I think the introduction of Dom Toretto's dad in this movie certainly like opens us up for a broader Toretto family, I reckon. And you got the vibe that there were just more Toretto brothers out there as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, they could kind of just start dropping Toretto brothers and you wouldn't really like bat an eyelid. It just felt like they could do that.
Jesus, I want a video game called Toretto Brothers.
For sure.
I think that's pretty much a lock. I would absolutely say that the dictator that is constantly referenced in this film will come up.
But I think the dictator, if they do come up, it'll be like the Finnish guy in this. It'll be like, he's the backer, he's financing it all, but it's still Cypher and her goons who are... you know, trying to
primary antagonist.
Yeah. Oh, and this is something I thought of in the movie, and I've just been reminded of it. I reckon this will be the if it's a two-parter, or it'll be the sort of like the problem or the conflict of the whole movie, or if it's, you know, like two individual films, it'll be the final conflict of the final movie. Mm-hmm. Is I think Cypher will figure out a way to control people's cars remotely, surely. To turn
remote
the Fast and the Furious.
How could that ever happen?
To turn the cars against La Familia is, I think, that just, it makes the most sense as
Didn't they already do that in 8?
No, yes. She could just control cars. She made them hit their cars. She never controlled the cars they were in. It's
take
different.
Over their cars. I like that.
Yeah. I think that's what's going to happen.
I think with the escalation of this franchise, how always it's like they go from Los Angeles to America, to like full America. Then they go from that to like more worldwide. And now in Fast 9, they have finally gone to space. It's hard to go like, what's the escalation? But I think the escalation this time is they like, it's interdimensional. I think they would like rip like some sort of like continuum. They rip like a seam in the fabric of the time and space to go back and like kill Dom like as a baby. Like I really, that has to be it. They have to go back in time, something like that. To
what
like,
about it, like a like an evil version of La Familia from the interdimensional tear?
Oh my god, they bring like an evil Dom in from another dimension.
The only way to defeat Dom Toretto is
and he's got like a toupee. He's got like a pompadour toupee. Oh my god!
Well,
I reckon in the gap between this movie and the next one, because this is like, you know, it's so funny how much everyone's roles escalate. Like they're now just like straight up secret agents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Tej is like, you know, all he trusts is numbers and science now, and like it's like since when
Tej
does this
is
this
like
part
the
of your character?
Man in the world. He's like fucking. Stephen Hawking, but on like faster wheels.
except when it comes to like saying a smart one-liner. Like,
oh yeah.
Rewatching it, do you remember what he says when they're in London? And also, he's been in London before. So he's like, this is like finding Where's Waldo in Harry Potter land. It's the stupidest line. But I reckon in the time between this movie and the next one, that Tej and Roman are going to be full-fledged astronauts by Fast 10 and just know everything about space, and they've gone up there like numerous times since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I reckon Roman's got a freaking like space girlfriend or something. He's got like a blue girlfriend, a Twi'lek. He's got a Twi'lek girlfriend.
Yes! Star Wars crossover. They set us up for it with the dialogue in Fast 9, which involves Charlize Theron and European dictator that looks like Steel Saunders riffing on Star Wars together.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's great. That's better than any Hannibal Lecter scene that's ever been filmed.
I think the best Star Wars reference in conversation in a movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
Kevin Smith, suck your ass, dude. You didn't fucking do it. You got freaking replaced and dethroned. Kevin Smith, go suck your ass, dude.
Well, yeah, because usually the moment Star Wars comes up, even in, like when Homecoming, when Civil War does it, when they're like, oh, have you seen that really, really old movie, Empire Strikes Back? Shut up, Spider-Man.
Yeah, shut the fuck up,
Cypher, though. Yeah, Yoda. Yeah. You're like Yoda. What? Yeah, a master, really powerful. No, you're a puppet.
A puppet. Great line. Incredible.
Fucking good shit, dude.
Do we think there's going to be any further exploration of Roman's potential invincibility? Surely. It came up once as a joke, but then it kept coming up like it wasn't a joke. And I really want them to move on. Yeah, start firing guns at him, whatever, you know?
Well, they already did.
They did. They fired many guns at him. He was picking bullets out of his vest.
It's really funny that because, obviously, the ties with the original Fast and the Furious is still sort of there to the point where these guys aren't, like, they're the good guys, but they're, like, anti-heroes. And they've been anti-heroes since the start. So you can just have them kill multiple members of a foreign military without any real repercussions. Like, unlike superhero movies where they're like, all right, we got to stop with the murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best scene in Fast 9, and I know that Well, this probably seems obvious, apart from the space scene, but when Vin Diesel jumps down and like flexes his arms and then fights like 35 guys.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And pulls the ceiling down.
What
on
a
them.
Scene. Yeah. That was incredible. Well, and then when he grabs the two chains and tears off the entire platform they were in. Oh,
and like
my
he full
god.
On like bane someone. Like he lifts them above his head and breaks them over a bar.
Oh my god.
It was incredible.
It was like magnificent filmmaking. Because it goes from that of like him fully the most like fucking arced up guy, like the biggest cunny that's ever walked on the celluloid screen. It's like ripping a building down with his raw masculinity. Not his body, just his masculinity rips it down. Yeah. And then to like this soulful, like time traveling, like dream sequence where he like slips through time and can see his life from entirely new angles that reveal information that he didn't witness before from a new angle where he can just go back into his dream state and embody the spaces he used to be in as a younger man. I was like, this is phenomenal. I've got chills describing it because it looks beautiful. But then it's shows that he's got a supernatural ability about him as well.
What if other characters can enter Dom Toretto's dream state in the next movie?
What if he has to kill Freddy? He has to go kill Freddy Krueger.
He's a dream warrior. Oh my god.
Levins, I think you're legitimately onto something though. I would not be shocked if Dom gets drugged and they have almost like an Inception riff. Or even the Matrix, I guess, where they drug a whole bunch of people and they're connected to something.
Yep.
And then young Dom teams up with like Vin Diesel Dom.
I really enjoyed young Dom.
Me too. Yeah. Young Dom was great. Yeah.
Really good performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is weird because usually like in those kind of roles, people suck shit. Mm. Like when you're getting like a flashback actor.
Get like a weird DH scene. I'm proud of them for not doing that.
I reckon we could also start to get some Fast and Furious prequels with Young Dom. I think that's not out of the question either.
I'm just annoyed they didn't make a bigger actor his father.
Yeah, I know.
It should have been Sylvester Stallone or John Travolta or something. John Travolta has a bald head now. It would have been amazing if it was him. If that happens, I would have just like, I don't know what I would have done. I'd be a different person. I think I would have had a brighter future in my life if fucking John Travolta was in there and just like greasing it up behind the car and a Grease lightning riff plays as you like zoom around that car. I would just be living in fucking heaven right now.
Oh my god.
Him as Buddy. That would have been amazing too. Like I'm glad Michael Rooker is in this franchise now, but imagine if it was John Travolta and like, you know, dropping Grease lightning references.
I think that's what this movie lacks. I think that Fast and Furious franchise, they're really good at breaking movie stars, like getting like Ludacris and Tyrese to like proper movie stardom and stuff.
Yeah.
And then discoveries like Hans and people that. Really good at like breaking those people. Like, I mean, Gal Gadot like broke from this as well. They need more throwback actors. Like Helen Mirren is kind of like the only real throwback
Kurt Russell.
Actor. Kurt Russell. That's kind of it. They need to get a little bit more of that like 80s or 90s energy. Like James Caan is just like in one scene as like some old mechanic or like some asshole or something, some guy that they always hit with the car, I'm like, fucking hell, bros. I'm like, this is the best shit ever.
I reckon we get Michael Rooker behind the wheel in at least one scene in the next Fast movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's very possible.
I also think that there is a big chance that, again, they'll say that he'll make reference to his old driving career or something, and it'll be like the Days of Thunder. Mm. Yeah, Days of Thunder is the Michael Rooker.
Yeah, Tom Cruise, it with something, right?
Yeah.
The other big NASCAR movie, the two biggest NASCAR movies of all time, Fast 9, Days of Thunder, and then one of the Final Destination movies.
What about Cars?
Talladega Nights. Yeah, Cars and Talladega Nights to round out the top five. Mm.
You made me think, Alexi, by bringing up the fact that Dom can sort of dream travel now, and Roman is possibly invincible. Do we think that they're developing superpowers? The Fast and the Furious.
Well, if Idris Elba's character comes back, who literally has superpowers, does he die at the end of Hobbs and Shaw?
Yeah,
yeah,
he dies.
Yes.
Like,
but
he falls off a cliff, and then, like, his boss, who's like a voice, talks to his head and goes, "I'm sorry, mate, it's over." But I don't know. They don't reveal who the voice was. So I was like,
no.
I was always like, it's going to be Ryan Reynolds. It's going to be Ryan Reynolds or some shit.
Yeah.
Well, he was just some dude in that movie, right?
Yeah, he was just some guy.
Yeah, he was The Rock's partner from the CIA or some shit. Yeah.
Yeah. But I wonder with, because like obviously giving people supernatural abilities is, it's possible and it's very, it's something they could do. I think that's the trick of the Fast and the Furious franchise. You're like, well, they could never actually do it. But then they do it and you just swallow it down. You're like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Once and also in, it's like been slowly building over 20 years where you're like, okay, they slowly get you to the idea that like, yeah, these aren't humans. These are beyond humanity. These are gods among us.
Yeah,
like,
I want
like,
them
they
to
start
be like some...
selling like fucking DVD players. They start as racketeers stealing DVD players off trucks, and now I'm like, Dom Toretto is like a dream traveler. He's a god.
Yeah, I would love some amazingly like convoluted explanation of like, yeah, because Dom Toretto has inhaled so much Nos over the years and beaten his head through, you know, over 100 pieces of drywall. That allows his brain to enter and allow others to enter his dream state. I'd believe it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What if like he goes back into a dream and like saves his dad from dying and just start? That's how they start bringing people back more.
Jesus Christ. Whoa. Maybe that's what Mr. Nobody's magic trick was, and that's why we don't see it, is because it involves Han in a dream state and pulling him out of the dream. But I have a really crazy theory that I honestly think it's going to sound fucked, but what the more you think about it, the more you can believe the Fast franchise taking this turn. And it ties into that throwaway cypher line about John Cena having Nordic blood.
Oh, I thought you meant about... Yoda being a puppeted asshole.
No. Star Wars crossover. No. I honestly think, so it looks like we're building towards a superhero thing, but I think that will be too much of a wink and a nod to what's going on.
Yeah.
With the Nordic line, I would honestly not be shocked. Well, I'd be shocked, but excited shocked.
Yeah.
If it is revealed that Dom Toretto, because he's also religious, is somehow a descendant of a god. If the Toretto's are divine beings.
I would love it
if it was literally Jesus Christ. Like, if it's, code. If it's like they actually, the whole series has been leading up to a Da Vinci Code crossover. It's like, you're actually the son of Christ, long way back.
Because it's hard to imagine them legitimately being like, you are the son of like Odin or something or whatever. But you can imagine them doing a like, we've got to get a magical artifact or some Indiana Jones shit. That's enough, grounded enough that you can imagine them doing it. Very. Dom Toretto
no more
in a
technological
mind card
artifacts. More all magic now. That would be way more fun.
Yeah.
And you need like
that.
His
amulets.
Blood to unlock a door or something. Because it's like, he's the last, the Toretto's are part of like the Christ lineage and their blood and like is the only thing that can open it.
Wait, dude, we, this is the answer to one of your prayers from earlier, Alexi. It shouldn't be a Da Vinci Code crossover. It should be a National Treasure crossover.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And that's
God.
How we get Nick Cage involved.
Fucking hell, bros. I'm buzzing right now, dude, hearing this shit. I'm vibrating.
And then they're like driving around in like the catacombs.
Oh my God.
And like skulls flying around. Oh. Yeah.
Somehow there's like an early car like made of stone and skeleton. They get in.
They get,
get in the skeleton car.
And, and only his thumb can start it.
Yeah.
Amazing. Only his thumb can make the Nos in the skeleton car work.
Yeah.
Ancient Nos.
It's so easy to imagine them finding some artifact early on that they don't know what it is, like some weird little like stone or whatever, and then Dom Toretto being like, how could we be so stupid? And it's a key. It's been a key the whole time.
But not just like our key. It's one of those ones that you click to unlock the car.
They find Jesus's crucifix and they click the thing and it rolls down and wheels come out. It turns out the first car was the cross that Jesus was nailed to.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, obviously we know which ancient weapon Roman finds.
Yeah.
The Highlander sword.
Oh.
Because he finds out he's a Highlander.
He's
That's
a Highlander.
Yes. Yeah. I would love that.
Everyone would love that.
The crazy thing is that all of these, like, they're just going to give you enough and you'll be sold. Once you're in the cinema, throw anything at me. Cross over with any franchise and I'll believe it.
Well,
there's no rules.
I can totally imagine just being in the cinema and Eva Mendes comes back and goes, she's a customs officer, also not like not like some secret agent.
Well, I mean, Ludacris is a mechanic. So.
She just comes up to Vin and goes, Dom. And you're like, hang on a second, did you call me Vin? And then you're like, okay, Roman heard it, like, no one else heard it.
Oh my God.
She's just like, there's reason to believe that you're a son of Jesus Christ. And you just, I'm like, yeah, I buy it. I'm like, I start leaning forward and going like, okay.
Yeah. It opens with like the Vatican finding like a long lost page of the Bible. And it's a picture of Dom's head.
We've translated Christ wrong this whole time. Yeah. It wasn't Jesus Christ. Okay. He was Jesus.
Do we have enough Fast and Furious cast members to make the 12 apostles?
Oh, yeah easy.
Surely. And some. We got bonus guys. Off the side, not
Sylvester
eating.
Stallone has to play the Pope as well. That's my one contractual thing. It's like, Sly has to play the Pope. Imagine
with no accent whatsoever.
No, none.
I like the idea of Vin Diesel driving his classic black car.
That he does in stealth missions.
Yeah,
that made me laugh so much. You're like, they're like stealthing around London looking for Jacob, and he's just like.
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner, or honestly, function like a normal human being most weeknights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. BEEF. omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Sylvester Stallone in full Pope attire in the passenger seat. Sylvester Stallone, similar to how Vin Diesel was helping Helen Mirren with like handbrake turns and stuff, Sylvester Stallone is in charge of activating the NOS.
Absolutely.
And it's holy water. Oh! He just pours a little bit of holy water into the gas tank before they get in the car.
It's powered by faith. That's what's doing it.
Well,
you just gotta believe hard enough. There's a line at the end of Fast 9 where they're like, you just gotta have faith. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Gotta say what's ever in your heart.
And I think, you know, you can introduce magic almost entirely on the fact that it's easy to imagine Tyrese and Roman being like, I don't understand this magic shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Based entirely
on
that.
I ain't getting in no skeleton car. Like,
exactly.
Well, all of these
things... I trust numbers, not magic ones. None. I'm sold.
All of these things sound outrageous, but like, in the trailer, when it's revealed that they're going to go to space, everyone was like, oh, how are we going to believe that? In the film, my brain didn't even register that was like...
No.
If anything, there were other points where I'm like, no, actually, none of it. None of it broke my suspension of disbelief. It's all...
I know. I kind of wish that Han's death was a bit more convoluted.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more convoluted.
A longer explanation.
Yeah, that would have been great.
20 minutes wasn't long enough.
Yeah.
Especially to not reveal in the end. Like, the build up... And to have a character in the scene be like, all right, Han, shut the fuck up. Just get to the part how you survived. And then to spend even longer getting to that point, and then to be like, good magic trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon Fast 10, they actually reveal that Han is actually dead.
Yeah.
It's his ghost.
Someone sees him walk through a wall.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, shit.
They do like the classic Scooby-Doo, rub their eyes like they didn't see it properly.
Roman sees it. And Tej is standing with him, and Roman like hits Tej, who's like talking to Ramsay or something, and Roman's just like looking at Han walk through a wall, like
you
like
see that,
just like jaw like drops, and he hits Tej, who's like, "What do you want?" And then they see Han halfway through a wall, and he's like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, and he's like, "Oh, so." And then Ramsay's like, "Oh, so you think he's a ghost?" And then Tej goes like, "Yeah, or maybe Roman's just a big fucking dummy." And then they're like, yeah.
Nine movies into the franchise, all of a sudden they're like, "What if Roman was actually a good character?"
Yeah, yeah.
What if he was actually Deadpool?
Yeah, what if he was our Deadpool?
He can just see through the movie. He can see, like, the stuff that's happening. He's the only one that can see the camera and the director and all the crew standing behind them. They should address it in the next one. You see him, like, eating snacks and go, like, "Where'd you get that from? Craft Services?"
Yeah. Let me take that again, Justin.
I quite like that when Roman was having these revelations, he was sort of like, it gave him an existential crisis. Like, it wasn't fun for him. He was like, "We need to do something about this. I'm afraid." That's good. I hope more of that.
Yeah, and then it built to, like, the end where they're like, "Look, we might die.
Yeah.
And, like, I've been thinking over it, but obviously that's not true, but we just got to do the right thing." And you're like, "Oh, that's actually, like, a good emotional beat. How the fuck did that come from where this started of Roman being like, oh my god, I can't die."
I reckon this is my actual speculation for the next film. I reckon that he will, like, they will explore that further of, like, him not dying. They send him into an impossible situation because he's like, "I have complete faith that I'm going to live through this." And he's like, "I'm willing to do it." And then he will just get shot in the ass or something and it will be a joke. It's like, "Damn, I got shot in my ass. Damn."
I thought you were going to explore, like, maybe he loses an arm or something.
And then we it's going to be so minor.
Right.
He has a limp for the rest of the movie, and then at the end of movie barbecue, he sits on, like, a donut cushion.
Oh, it's like that.
That's the entire ramification of it.
That just reminded me, you know who you could probably bring into Fast and the Furious and not break the universe? Bad Boys. Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
Yes, very true.
I don't know if they're worthy anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
If this they hadn't done Bad Boys 3, then...
Yeah.
So, yeah, fuck that idea, dude. Fuck that idea. Stop talking about fucking Bad Boys.
Yeah, no, I will. Hey, consider Bad Boys talk over.
Yeah.
Back to Fast Chat.
What about all of the all of the familiar cars joined together like some kind of Voltron, and they have to... they all join together, and they have to fight as one.
Definitely mechs. The fact that we haven't gotten mechs is crazy. Mechs are coming, right?
Yeah.
Gotta be. Like, big,
some
clunky...
Zoid shit. They got some Zoids going on.
Like, they could have done it with the magnets. I mean, that's where we're going with the magnets. They magnetize together.
Yeah.
And then they can be controlled.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Well, it's going to be interesting because they're going to have to build to a, like, to end the Fast franchise, they have to build to what is going to be huge emotional beats.
Yeah.
But then also a huge, like, climactic fight, because the franchise now is known for its huge set pieces.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to get something like that on the back of, like, maybe Dom dying or something like that.
Yeah, shit. Don't say that to me, dude.
Oh, dude.
Don't say it.
I can't handle... Dom dying, and maybe there's some, like, him and Paul Walker reuniting or something. I couldn't. I'd have to go. I would have to leave the cinema.
Vin Diesel doesn't die. Dom Toretto dies, but Paul Walker's Brian is still alive, but Paul Walker is dead. So they've got one each. So Paul Walker up in our actual heaven has got Dom Toretto with him.
Yeah.
And then in the movies, Brian's still alive with our Vin Diesel, the actor.
Do you reckon we keep seeing Brian's car show up in future movies, or you reckon that's a one and done?
I have another really, like, it sounds ridiculous, but this is something I also thought is going to happen.
Yeah.
I think that this probably won't be a Fast 10 thing. They'll save this for a finale. So I think Brian will be hinted at again and again in 10, but we won't see him. And then I think they'll do a throwback to the Furious 7 ending of like them looking at each other through the car. Because I think that Vin will probably be side by side in a car with Cypher, and Cypher's like pushing him into like, I don't know, let's just say they're on a road driving alongside a train, and she's pushing his car onto towards a train tracks or something like that. Brian Skyline will come the other way.
It's a space train, though.
Yeah, it's
a space train powered by magnets.
They're on the moon. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're on the moon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Brian's car will slam onto the other side of Dom's car and push him out of, like to safety, basically. And then you'll get the shot of them looking at each other in the cars again, almost reuse the footage from 7.
I think
they'll get his brothers in to play a bigger character. They'll just have him. They'll just bring him back to life.
He's face back. Here he is. Yeah.
If Dom dies, they need to put his like soul and consciousness into that car.
Yeah.
Oh,
Kit.
From
Knight Rider.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that would be so good.
Just something.
I think that if Vin Diesel dies, Dom Toretto dies, Diesel I wouldn't dies. Be shocked. No. I think if Dom Toretto dies in the film, the credits will roll with "In Loving Memory of Dominic Toretto." I honestly think they'll mourn him.
Yeah. The world will mourn him.
The franchise couldn't survive without Dom, right?
No.
There would be no emotional heart to the whole thing. He's got
truly.
They could spin it into different spin-offs for sure. But they can never
do another Fast and the Furious. No way.
Until they reboot it, like five years after they kill his character off. What about John Cena? What do we think he's going to come back? Do we think he's going to come back as a major role in the next one? Or a minor role?
So.
Or are we skipping a movie?
I felt like there needed to be an apology from Dom to Jacob that didn't happen.
He did give him a car.
Yeah, he gave him a car and a hug, but he was never like, hey.
No hug.
We gave him a car. That's not enough.
Him a car.
There needs to be more.
That's a Toretto hug. Yeah. A Toretto hug is jumping inside a car.
I give my children a car before bedtime every night.
Give me a car goodbye.
Give your grandma a car.
Felt like this unresolved stuff there, because Dom was like, "You killed Dad," and then when Jacob gets betrayed or whatever, he's like, "Hey, we're friends again." But there's further stuff to fix between the two Toretto brothers.
And they can do it in the dream state.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Come into my dream. Let me show you what really happened. And then they go in the dream together and it's heartbreaking.
That if they're going to get Jacob in the main crew, you're going to have to turn Mr. Nobody on the gang. Mm. Turn out that Nobody was actually a bad guy.
We don't even know if he's alive, right?
Yeah, we don't know
if he's alive.
No clue.
Wouldn't be surprised if he is secretly working with Cypher and that this is like a weird ploy, because then that explains why Jacob went rogue.
Mm. Yeah. Or even if Mr. Nobody was somehow made Idris Elba, or developed the technology that made Idris Elba a nanobot man.
Because we don't know who that is. They never reveal who that is.
That could be Mr. Nobody.
Alternatively, Mr. Nobody is revealed to just be Cypher.
Oh, the whole time with holograms.
Yeah, hologram technology drips away and it's like, it was me.
Oh, for the last 40 years, it was me. Wow. What do we think happens when Han comes face to face with Shaw?
Oh, that's tricky, isn't it? Because we've grown to love Shaw over the films that we've seen. But also, we love Han, and I don't know what's to be done there.
They shake hands. They're just like, oh, okay, there you got me, dude.
Sorry about that. Things get pretty crazy, and then whatever, they just move on.
I think that there's like Han's there to ask Shaw to come back for one last job, and Shaw's like confused and then agrees to it, and then Han punches him and says, now we're even.
or blows up one of his cars.
Yeah.
Without him.
Yeah. Or like now that Shaw is like sort of maybe more of a, not a good guy, but like an anti-hero. He's like, hey, sorry about that. That was a crazy time in my life or something. Like, that's not who I am anymore.
You can kind of work around that because Han's not actually dead. And the fact that Deckard Shaw did it out of vengeance for family, it almost can be portrayed as like, a totally fine thing that has happened in the first
universe. Morally justified within that universe. And it's also very easy to imagine in a fight or something where Han is doing something annoying, like in that maybe he's getting guys that Shaw wants to get. Shaw said, like, saying stuff like, oh, I should have left you killed or something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I like you better when you were fucking dead.
Yeah.
Every one of those characters has killed hundreds of people as well. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
So we've got, Letty was bad for an entire film. Probably murdered countless innocent people. Sure. Mr. Nobody is constantly just doing secret wars, basically. Mm-hmm.
Tyrese killed a whole bunch of military dudes at the start of the movie. Just like when he just starts shooting and taking them out, I was like, oh wow, we're already at this level. Like,
we're already at declarations of war, effectively. Great, yeah, good.
Even, it's also crazy. Even Ramsay killed like hundreds of people when she was driving that
civilians
truck.
Civilians too. Like, there's not even any justification there. It was just like, it's wacky. She doesn't know how to drive. She is a natural though, as we found out, which was
especially when magnets are involved. But she definitely at least like struck 10 people with washing machines. They're not getting up.
No, not at all.
No amount of hospital visits are going to bring them back from the dead.
No.
I also love how selective the magnetic field is. Like, there's so many things that are magnetic that they're still able to use. Like the headpiece, the things in their ears when they're communicating. It's great.
And when Tej just turns it on just to wreck Roman's lunch, even though he's in a room full of computers.
Yeah. And they all get destroyed. Like, they don't even they show it. But it's worth it.
No, I think the things that get destroyed, that get sucked towards the magnet, it's all of Mr. Nobody's old shit.
Ah, I see. None of their stuff. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's funny because Roman didn't get to eat his food, Jackson. You see?
I see.
These are the kind of details that you can only see during a second watch in the fourth or next dimension.
Salad coming out of the screen.
Yeah.
Whoa, true 4DX.
There was one effect that I've never experienced in a 4DX movie was that in the flashback when Han is talking about rescuing the girl who was the key.
Yeah.
When the night her parents die, it's raining. And raining in the cinema.
Whoa. That's pretty cool.
That's a great one.
Yeah. That happened a lot in Godzilla vs. Kong.
It's a pretty rainy movie, and you only really realize that when you're catching a cold from watching it.
Was it a stark contrast to Sonic the Hedgehog, the first movie I saw in 4DX. The only time they used the water was when someone spilt a drink on Sonic.
Yeah. I think Sonic sneezed, and that's how I got the
Was that what it was? Yeah, it was something like that.
Sonic sneezes, and it's like, oh! I was cleaning my glasses at the time, and went direct hit.
That's so funny.
All right, let's get back to Fast 10 and just try and
hash out a basic plot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Surely.
So, it probably doesn't open with the Shaw and Han thing, but that will be in the first, 20 minutes. It'll probably be, a cold open, then that. I also like that the Fast franchise rarely have title cards all of a sudden.
They're beyond title cards, dude.
The movie starts, and then it just is going. You know
the first thing that happens in Fast 9 is you get the classic late 80s, early 90s Universal logo. So I reckon Fast 10, we start with the 1930s, black and white little plane flying across Universal logo.
All right, what about this? Okay, so we start with the 1930s Universal logo, and we get some flashback to the early Shaw crime family in the 30s, and the family of the dictator, Nicolas Cage's family or whatever, and we find out that there's a long-running feud between them that ended in some kind of peace treaty. Mm-hmm. And then the death of the son in Fast 9 has ruined that peace treaty in some way. Maybe it was if one of us is ever killed by a car, it's forever. We're not friends anymore.
No, by a drone-controlled helicopter.
It's placed in Bethlehem, so they're like, okay, Jesus is involved now.
Great, it's about Christ now.
So it shows through the history how it turns out that the Toretto family, the Shaw family, and this crime family that we haven't really seen.
The Nicolas Cage crime family.
Are all connected throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
And includes Michael Caine, like a scene at the end of The Italian Job, or like Michael Caine on the phone saying something about The Italian Job, where he then calls up like the Toretto's and he's like, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were meant to blow the bloody doors off, but I'd done the job anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in the
Or it's his
day-
character from Muppet Christmas Carol.
It's done. Same thing. Ebenezer Scrooge is part of the Fast and Furious cinematic universe. But then it's the modern day. Owen and Deckard are and Mama Shaw and Papa Shaw. It's a family Christmas.
Hello, Dad.
Hello, Dad. And then
they get visited by the ghosts of Christmas past, who are all played by Muppets in cars.
Oh, Muppet Fast and the Furious. That someone should get on that. Frank Oz? Oh, you might be dead. Never mind. Anyway, so then
don't worry, Frank Oz is alive. And he's getting his ass puppeteered as Yoda as we speak.
And then we get the like the this Nicolas Cage crime family is trying to take out the Shaws. The Shaws have to go to the Toretto's and be like, hey, do you know you're part of this long-running feud? Another revelation about Vinny D's past. And they all come together as one big La Familia to settle their beefs, settle the score in whatever fake foreign country they put this dictator in. That would be my theory. That's my guess for the movie.
That's huge. Also, be sick if all three had a treaty and this other crime family in the past had betrayed the Toretto's but framed it on the Shaws. And then that comes to light. So, but it needs to be like old enough that they were all started in America, I guess.
Yeah.
But then the Shaws went to the UK. This other random dictator went to, like, somewhere in Europe.
Yeah.
The Toretto stay in America. And then, come together. And maybe that's what Han's telling Shaw.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's giving him the sort of...
Your family needs you.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? My brother? And he's like, no. Your whole family.
Whoa.
Your ancestors.
Yes. Yeah. And let's not forget, Vinny D's a big, like, D&D nerd. So you could almost open with, like, a Lord of the Rings-style exposition.
Fucking hell.
I can, like, the car of his dreams that he needs to win this movie is inside the statue of Jesus in Brazil.
Mm.
And he drives it out of Jesus' face.
Drives it out his mouth chest, like a chest burger and alien.
And he has to break into the statue using his head.
Wow.
So Cypher is clearly going to be manipulating someone again. Mm-hmm. But
I reckon the movie opens with her. I think it's it's going to be like a cold open, because we haven't gotten a cold open. Like, it was crazy how this one started with like the flashback, and then they're living on the farm, and then they get given the mission. Like, it all just seems so fast and hilarious how quickly it, like, you know, they chose to start just a quiet location, but how quickly they made things loud and fast.
Yeah.
And I reckon that now we get a cold open in the next one, and it's them trying to take down Cypher, and then you think she's about to be beaten, and then the dictator shows up, and she's like, he's like, you killed my son. And, like, you know, now you will see what happens when you take on the richest man in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a big, big... I don't know if Vin Diesel would do this. If any other person was associated with this film, I would say the dictator gets even by killing Brian off screen.
Mm-hmm. True.
But I don't think Vin Diesel will let that happen.
No. It's like, you don't kill Princess Leia off screen. You don't kill Brian off screen. There are rules.
Exactly. Yeah.
I reckon the Familia get their butts handed to them by this dictator, and then they're like, fuck, we need to go to someone who knows the inner workings of this family, who's worked with them in the past. And so he goes, I know someone, and it's Jacob. So he goes to Jacob. What does Jacob know about this dictator's family? And then he's like, whoa, welcome to my world. And then, like, he has like the equivalent of like a Q from James Bond franchise, and they just get all these spy gadgets added to their cars.
Wow.
And then they, like, maybe even like, yeah, like it's a full on spy movie. And, and then, like, Tej and Roman are like, this is all too much for me. We're going to go to the only place we know how to operate that no one else does. And then they blast off into space.
Yes.
With Ramsay. And then, like, there's a space plot, because the dictator owns a space station as well.
Yeah.
And so they're in space while the others are dealing with the dictator in somewhere around the world.
Yeah. It's grounded, but it's good. I think that's very feasible.
So Tej and Roman are usually like the guys in the chair, but I could easily imagine them filling that trope, but from space.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I think like something is going to be really crazy that I don't know if people are going to talk about that much. I mean, Australia got this movie first, so it's kind of hard to see what the internet's going to take away from it yet.
Yeah.
But the fact that Tej and Roman went to space seems crazy, but the way they get back is way crazier. Like, it is insane that they just, like, put that in the film. They drive their car through a satellite by activating NOS in space.
Yep.
Blow up the satellite, don't have enough fuel to get home, so they float to the International Space Station. Roman gets out of the car and knocks on their window. They let them in, and then they spend some time in space and then travel back to Earth with actual astronauts.
Well, weeks in space, they say.
Yeah. Spend a while up there. It's crazy. And here's the thing, and I think this is why it's sort of tricky to truly speculate about the Fast and the Furious franchise. Put yourself four movies ago. Could you imagine we'd be here? No. Put yourself four movies before that. Could you imagine you would ever reach something like Fast 4? You can't picture the future of the franchise. There's no way of knowing.
I'm watching the first movie going like, there's no way they'll go to Tokyo and drift. There's no way.
I reckon a big moment will be it's revealed that, because they're rebuilding the house after Shaw blows it up, and I reckon Dom Toretto is rebuilding his house so that it's a car.
Yeah.
So he can drive the Toretto house.
Yeah, and like there'll be a scene where he's like at the sink or whatever doing the dishes, and someone comes in and like puts a gun on him, and he just reaches his hands deep into the sink, and there's a steering wheel in there.
Oh, perfect. Oh. Do we reckon we keep exploring Toretto family stuff, or have we done too much of that now and we just go straight into like these guys are secret agents being given a mission to stop Cypher and save the world?
I think you need that Toretto family stuff it's not the same thing, because I loved that this movie, that Fast 9, was like, sometimes family can be dangerous, you know, because the previous films have been like, family's good. And this is like, what's the darkest side of family? And that was what this film was exploring, I think, you know.
Even Hobbs and Shaw is about a family, just a different one.
Yeah exactly. Yeah.
Sometimes family will just pick you up and slam your bald head through drywall.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have a lot of family. Sometimes you have no family. Having a lot of family makes you Vinny D. Having no family makes you a
Johnny
secret
C.
agent.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Especially because it's the end, they have to build on family somehow.
Yeah.
And the only way I can think of it is if, like,
they all get married.
The Shaw family, the Toretto family come together, and they all get married.
Yes. Well, it's very funny because, like, the most, perhaps most basic way to end the Fast and the Furious franchise would be, like, Letty and Dom retire and just raise their kid together in relative happiness. But
they'll
in this
do
movie...
the...
No, but in this movie, we get it explained to us pretty explicitly that they don't want that life. So they can't do that. Letty's like, I hate this. This is boring. We need to put our kid in a box and get out there and explode. That's how we have fun.
Vin Diesel just has a huge military-grade shotgun just on the farm ready to go.
Shoot anyone who appears. Anybody. Yeah. Doesn't matter who they are. Vin Diesel's first go is, I will shoot them in the head. It's something else.
I think that they will end it with Letty, because they've said that Letty can't have kids.
Mm.
So I think that there'll be like a miracle childbirth at the end. Because then also they've got two kids, which is the same as Brian and Mia.
Mm-hmm.
And the second child is also when they retire to the farm. So I think they'll just use that ending.
That's fair.
Or flash forward.
Flash forward, Grandpa Dom. Wow. Oh!
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's... you might have hit the nail on the head there, JD. Flash forward to one big-ass barbecue. Huge barbecue.
Wow.
What about a barbecue to end the franchise? You get like a... Bring Wiz Khalifa back. Like, let's try and get See You Again. Or maybe just use See You Again.
Yeah.
A barbecue where as it pans along, time is just passing, and the barbecue is in like fast motion.
Oh,
it gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
a whole I'm time crying. Roman just waiting yeah, for food. I would be never getting it.
You're making me emotional.
I'm hungry.
Roman's
bro.
The only one not aging. Like everyone else is getting older, but Roman What's just happening? Feels exactly the same.
Everyone's like losing limbs and hair and teeth. And
especially if that time passing also does flashbacks. So it's like, it's like, here's, you know, maybe it'll like, it'll pass by like Roman and it'll show us like scenes from the first couple of movies.
100% that happens.
Oh my God. I'll be a fucking mess, dude.
Also, I reckon that this entire franchise could be a moment in the dream of Dom Toretto in the first movie. And then he wakes up and then the first movie happens.
Or, you know what?
Yeah.
This flash forward, fast forward barbecue with flashbacks as it like shows every character at the barbecue. That's the only time we see Brian after Fast 7.
Yes.
And like Dom will like, because it'll be like a follow up to the scene we got in this one where we see him at the barbecue. And then also the CGI, they don't have to move him very much.
Yeah.
So that it won't be wonky and it won't be a bad taste.
Just eat a hot dog or something. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As he slides the hot dog into his mouth.
Without chewing.
As they slide, and they slide a JPEG of a hot dog into
it. All right. To round this out, what do we think the names of the next two films are going to be?
I don't know what the 10 is. Yeah. I've got it locked.
Okay.
Fast 10, your seatbelts.
Somewhere around the world, one cunt tweets that every single day and inexplicably gets 100,000 likes and retweets.
And I reckon Vin saw it and was like, fuck, that's actually pretty good.
I guess I will make another one of these.
I think the last one is called like, so I don't know about 10, but 11 will be called like The Fast and the Furious La Familia or something like that. I don't think they'll use... Nah,
you guys are crazy. If we are getting two more movies and that's it, number 10 is going to be called Fast and number 11 is going to be called Furious.
Yeah.
No,
they already subs. Did that though.
No subs, yeah.
No, but wasn't it Fast 5 and Furious 7? I reckon Levens is right.
No, so.
Or what about if it's called The Fast and then The Furious?
The Furious.
Whoa! Oh. If it's a two-part film and then, like, something bad, like, it ends on a cliffhanger, but, like, the classic, like, downbeat cliffhanger of a part one of a film. So it's The Fast and it's, like, maybe fun things and then something bad happens and then The Furious, Dom needs revenge.
Yes, yes.
Maybe little B gets kidnapped at the end of the Fast.
I reckon everyone gets kidnapped at the end of number 10 and Vin has to save them all in 11.
It's like video game logic where he just has to slowly work his way through missions, unlocking members of his family.
Yeah.
But yeah, Fast 5 and 6 were meant to be the same film, I think.
Yeah.
And then they became Fast 5 and Furious 6. And then... Then there's Furious 7 again, which is funny because...
No, I think it was Fast 5, then it's Fast and Furious 6, and then Furious 7.
That's right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, I apologize. Yeah.
I'm sad that we've shied away from stuff like Fate of the Furious, which would have been a great name for these two films,
That
really.
Was one movie ago.
Yeah, but it was such a great way to do it. Yet. Fast and the Furious, the X of the Furious, which it's so good.
What about
it's
FX? Evolving.
FX.
Fucking hell, dude.
What is
that
F10?
Is good shit.
Yeah.
And then especially if we've got the religious themes, the X can turn into a crucifix.
They flip it. Awesome.
They do the reverse Logan where they take the X and turn it into a crucifix.
Well, because then I was going to be like, okay, actually it'd be FFX, but that's already a video game that is very famous.
Yeah, that's true. But still.
Final Fantasy X.
Yeah.
The Fast and the The Fast for 10.
Yeah.
And then The Furious for 11, I think is huge. And also because they've introduced The Fast Saga as a subtitle in this because in Australia, this is just called Fast and Furious 9. But in America, it's F9, The Fast Saga.
Yeah.
And the next one is The Furious Saga, and it goes for another 23 years, and there's another 10 movies.
Perfect. Can't wait.
Yeah. They could literally make these movies till I am 80 and I wouldn't bat an eye. I'd be happy.
As long as they promise to finish them before I die so I know when I go to heaven I've seen all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, all the actors are older than you at this point. So, like,
Yeah, that's true.
You'll be right for the time being.
Yeah.
But only at this point, who knows what the future holds.
The magic of Hollywood could pause their aging.
Is Ramsay the only actor who's younger than us?
In this franchise? Little Brian.
And little Brian.
Vanessa Kirby, probably?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I think she's a little bit older.
Yeah.
Vanessa Kirby. I don't know why I've decided this is the time I'm pulling out my phone for research.
She's old. She's 33 is my guess.
She was born in 1988, so she is younger than Levens, but older than us three beautiful angels.
Beautiful, damn. Timeless, sweet little boys.
And who plays Ramses?
I just looked her up. She was born in March 1989.
Hey. Oh my god, yes, she's still older.
So you guys are younger than the entire Fast and Furious cast except Little B.
I don't know. Look up Little B's age. Let's check.
Oh my god, he's 34.
Played by Macaulay Culkin. What the?
He's got the same disease that Kid Rock's hype man Joe C had. Does anyone remember Joe C?
No.
I only know comedy references. So if you said Andy Molinakis, I would have known what you were talking about.
So, I think that we have put together what is going to be the perfect 10th installment of the Fast and Furious. Well, the 11th installment, but the 10th numbered film. Yeah. It's also very funny that Tokyo Drift is a spin-off, but now they're just like, nah, it's film 3.
Yeah. It counts. It's part of the... He's back. He's in it. Yeah.
So, on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've been Levins.
And I've been Alexi.
Okay, so two guests. We've got a lot of plugs here. So, Levins, where can we find you?
Oh, you can find me on the Sans Pants podcasts, Hey Fam, every single week, all the small games every single week. Hey Fam is where you should go to find much more Fast and Furious talk. I would say we talk about Fast and Furious more than any other podcast on the network. and that's a claim that I know will make you all furious, but you know deep in your heart that it's true. And also,
every episode, I'm thinking about
it. and then also the podcast Serious Issues.
Oh, and yeah. Alexi, where can we find you?
You can find me on the Sans Pants Network talking about cinema, movies, every single week on Total Reboot with Cameron James and Alexi Toliopoulos. We are talking about, at the moment, a mini-series called Australian Psycho, where we're looking at psychos in Australian movies. So we just did Wake and Fright. We did Animal Kingdom. And we had a great conversation with Nash Edgerton, one of my favorite Aussie filmmakers. Oh.
Yeah, that's fucked up. We are like 2 degrees of separation away from Joel Edgerton now, and he was in Star Wars.
Well, Nash Edgerton plays Obi-Wan in stunts, so we're already there.
Holy shit! 1 degree.
Yeah. Angus did work experience on episode 2.
Yeah, true.
We're already there, baby.
Yeah. And this is a crazy thing to just randomly drop here, but when Plumbing the Death Star went to the UK, we found out that people that work for Industrial Light and Magic listen to Plumbing the Death Star whilst working on The Force Awakens.
Crazy,
and
dude.
We were like, there is no way that they know about it. Like, Star Wars know about us. And they're like, J.J. Abrams might. And we were just like, what? And they were like, yeah. And then they just kind of walked off. We were like, what the fuck just happened?
What the hell?
He doesn't like us enough to... contact us.
Yeah. Put us in.
Knows about it. Hates it.
Put all of Sans Pants in the next Star Wars movie, J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, come on.
make us our own race.
Yeah. Just aliens in a cantina, please get us all in there.
And we're all wearing headphones, we all hold microphones.
And everyone's like, oh yes, the fuckhead race.
The podcastians.
This has been another episode of Baseless Speculation, and we've been the BS Boys.
Thanks for listening to Baseless Speculation. Remember to rate and review us on iTunes, and if you want us to hear about your baseless speculations, just email us in at baselessspeculation@gmail.com, and to continue the conversation, head on over to our Sans Pants Discord or Facebook group. Links to those are in the show notes.